The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
I'm going to need you to do me a favor today. I'm going to need you to hang with me all the way through. If you tend to check out every now and then and your mind drifts or you get something on your mind that you need to take care of and it sort of takes you down another track, do your best to come right back in, because if you don't, you might get me in trouble. Okay, you might get me in trouble. You might get yourself in trouble, because we're going to talk about a particular concept from Scripture that's covered all through the Word from the beginning to the end. And because it's covered from the beginning to the end, we're going to look at a lot of different texts. And that causes you, it does some things to you. I kind of equate it to if I were sitting on the couch right here, and you were sitting on the couch over there, and the TV was on, and the news was on. And the news is playing, and it happened to be the section where the weather is being talked about. And the weather pops up. And by the way, I have a relative that might be watching today, so I'm not going to say their name. I have a relative that listens halfway to the news, maybe intentionally. So listening to the news, a tornado has happened somewhere in the country. Somewhere. And that tornado somewhere in the country could possibly be close to us. And that's a reason or excuse to get on the phone and call me and say, did y'all know a tornado's coming your way? I don't know if you have that kind of person in your life. If you don't have that kind of person in your life, you probably are that person that does that. And by the way, I've used some of that on my kids and used it as an excuse to check on them and see how they're doing. There's the concept from Scripture is the opposite of the prevailing culture that we are dealing with. What we live in now is a culture of contempt, a culture that where people are easily holding other folks in contempt. They don't care for them. They don't like the way they're doing what they're doing. They're looking for flaws in what they're saying. They're trying to break down some statement or some action that someone has made and lift themselves up by bringing that other person down, by making comments on social media or on the news or to each other. That's the culture that we're living in, a culture of contempt that is raised to a culture of outrage. So this contempt for other people causes people to have an outrage toward others and their behavior. Maybe their expectations are not being met. And you look for the worst in people, or something that you can find to pick apart in people. We started off the day pretty good today in our house. I don't know how you started off. Some days don't start off good. Some days do. So started off early, got some things taken care of before the sun even came up. And as you know, my ongoing saga with the dogs, I'm getting along today with them. They're doing great. We got in a car, we came on, we're headed here to church, and I decided to pull into McDonald's to get something to eat on the way out of town, and some things transpired in the drive-thru line that might have precipitated this. In the drive-thru line, as I was driving through, I asked the person next to me how they wanted to merge by hand signals. Those hand signals were interpreted well, and she went on ahead of us, and we got in behind her in the line, and it was a really long McDonald's line. We get around to check out, and she said, the lady at the window said, "Did you have this?" And she laid out what my order was, and I said, "Yeah, that's us," because I was expecting them to mess it up. By the way, I've had many mistakes at this particular drive-through, and I had an attitude of contempt for what was going to happen. So as she laid it out to me and was about to hand it to me, she said, "The person in front of you paid for your breakfast." That's nice, isn't it? And then suddenly I felt obligated to pay for the person behind me. So what went through my head was, I wonder how much they ordered. And is this going to pay off for us or not? But I decided to bite the bullet and go ahead. I waved at the person in front of me and paid for it and came out ahead, $1.25. But I did notice the one behind me didn't pay for the one behind him. Some days are good and you enter with a better attitude, but the Lord is teaching us through Scripture, all through Scripture, how we are to look at each other and other people. And here's a place I don't want you to check out. Anything I talk about today, people that you should honor, never should be honored above the Lord. So we're giving people honor, everyone in our community, everybody in our church, everybody in our family, and we're looking at what Scripture says about that, but never should they be elevated above God. He stays above, always. So if you were to hear me say, honor your father and mother, if you're a father and mother that thinks your kids ought to do a little better, you're going to get lost in the ditch on that one and not realize the Lord comes before. The Lord comes before. Honor your boss. You might think, well, I don't know if I could ever do that or not, and get sidetracked easy because we honor the Lord above all else. Scripture tells us that we are to do that. There's two words used. The Old Testament word would be kavod. Kavod. The New Testament is tami. Those two words are basically the same word about how you look at someone else with respect and honor and love toward that person. It's different than respect. Respect is you look at someone's achievements and their what they've accomplished in life, and you honor them for that. But this kind of honor is you are recognized the value of a person. The value. You know that James talks about this when he says that you shouldn't honor the rich man above the poor man at the meal. You know that passage? Everyone is honored because they belong to the Lord. First thing we do, we'll look at this text of Scripture first. Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus 20:12. Number one, honor your parents. If you're a younger person here, you may find that difficult. If you're an older person here, you probably don't find that as hard. It seems like the older we get, the better we are able to honor our parents that are aging, taking care of them, looking after their needs, and lifting them up in a position of respect because of who they are and who God created them to be in your life. They may not be the kind of people that have earned respect of the community or earned respect of the church even, but God tells us to honor them. People can be won to Jesus by giving them the love and respect that God intended for them. Can y'all believe that's true? It's true. I've seen it happen. I've seen people that are living dishonorable lives being showed respect and love, and that wins them, that wins their heart to be a more teachable heart so that they may hear the gospel and understand the love of Jesus. 1 Peter 2:18 says this, "Servants, you must obey your masters and always show respect to them. Do this not only to those who are kind and thoughtful, but also to those who are cruel." Difficult bosses may be difficult to honor, but because of their position of authority, the Bible tells us to honor them. I could spend the rest of the day writing down names, telling you people that I didn't respect, that I had to honor, that were bosses. I was one of those fast food workers myself one day, back in the day. And we didn't get a lot of good bosses in that particular place. Difficult to honor them. But the Scripture tells us to do that. This may be one of your favorite passages. Leviticus 19:32, "I command you to show respect for older people and to obey me with a fear and trembling." You need to honor senior citizens. It's important. I know that this is a difficult thing in churches. Churches change staff fairly often. The pastor will come in. They'll stay a while. Something will. Maybe they move on or call to another location. Maybe the church is growing and evolving to a point they need a different kind of leader. And by the way, that's okay. It's okay that happens. When I left my very first BCM as a pastor, I was I was an Apostle Paul type leader, and it was a very wide net cast for evangelism. Lots and lots of students were saved. We had a great big group. And then when I went on to another place, they needed a person who could build some infrastructure. So the person that came after me was able to develop a discipleship, deeper discipleship system, so that they could grow those people even stronger. It was a good thing. The change was a good thing. That'll happen here. There'll be someone new brought in here. And when they come in here, they'll have a new way of thinking. There are some things that happen that with a young person. I hope I can get to them before it's too late and tell them. I've done this before at other places. I want to say to them, do not forget to honor your senior citizens. Do not forget that. Because God put them there. They built that church. They've been there a long time. They paid for the thing. They paid for everything. They've got it to the point that it is today. And the church may be at a point of stall, or may not be growing, or might be declining, or it might be growing, but coming in and changing things so much that you disrespect those that have gone before you is not honoring in the eyes of God. I expected more amens than that. It's important. But you also have to value those that are coming in that are new. You got to value those that are going to be different, that are going to be young, that are going to have different ideas and different values. And if I were to start a church today, I'm not sure church would look like church looks across the country. It might be different. We might sing a little different. We might study a little more. We might pray a whole lot more. We may not meet on Wednesdays. We might meet on Tuesdays. It might be different. But this is the church that you have. This is what God has blessed you with. And the person that comes in here will be bringing new ways of thinking. And I know this will be important to honor senior citizens. I want to stop for a second here and talk about how the church gets in a ditch. Okay, this is the way the church gets in a ditch sometimes. There are things in this room that are important or were important to someone at some point in time. Maybe this candles over here, that was important to be here as a decorative thing, has some religious significance. It may just be decor. I know these windows are important to people because they tell a story. This has been in the church throughout history of the church, that the stained glass tells a story. This pulpit is big and heavy and dark, and well, actually it's kind of light, but it's thick. It's kind of substantial. There are some churches that have just a glass lectern up there. And there are some churches that will have a round table with two tall stools. I'm not sure why there's two, but two tall stools. And the pastor will lay the Bible out on the table, and he'll stand up and sit on that stool and stand up and sit on that stool. And that's their thing. There are some people, some churches that these ferns might have significance. I've been in churches before that have had deacon's benches, which is what I think this is. And this is called a deacon's bench. So called something like that. But there also will be a pastor's chair on one side. It looks like a throne. Have y'all seen those? You might want to consider getting one of those here. And then over here, you got one just like it. And it's the music minister's. And it's probably a little cleaner. It looks a little better. It's put together over here. So it's got this big throne over here. People set up churches because they're wanting to bring their best. Now, there's some churches that believe that you should dress a certain way. I discussed this on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. I talked to a longstanding, large church pastor about 2 weeks ago that says he never wears a jacket, ever. He's never dressed any more above casual in the pulpit. Always dresses down. And there are some folks would say that is blasphemy for a pastor to do that. Because it's important to them that the pastor look a certain way. If he looks a certain way, it's honoring God. It's honoring the Lord. Well, there are some that say that you should dress a certain way if you attend church. If you don't dress this way, then you're not bringing your best to the Lord. Have y'all heard people say that before? Man, it's a spectrum. It's hard to find the place to land on that. Karen and I were riding around in way southern Kentucky in Amish country on a Sunday afternoon. And if you're in Amish country, you see some things that you don't see every day. It was Sunday afternoon, and I didn't figure it out until after we got past them, but courting was going on because we saw 20 black buggies with horses, with people fully dressed, dressed head to toe for sure, in black and white, and three people in each buggy. You had a boy, a girl, and a chaperone. Okay, they're all riding around. And they were, and it was hard for me not to take videos of what was happening, because I just wanted to post it on social media so bad. But I had to show some honor to those people, so put the phone down. Actually, I took some video for myself. It was fun to see that. We didn't land there, did we? We didn't land there as Southern Baptists. We didn't land on black and white and buggies as honoring of God. We landed somewhere else. We landed where each individual church makes their own decision, and each individual person within that church makes their decision what their best is that they're bringing to God to honor Him. So, honor the Lord with everything that you're doing, everything you are, in the best way you can. Let's go to number four for a second. We're off the side note. We're back to the outline. Honor your church leaders. Honor your church leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12-13 says, "My friends, we ask you to be thoughtful of your leaders who work hard and tell you how to live for the Lord. Show them great respect and love because of their work. Try to get along with each other." That's good, isn't it? It's my favorite one yet. Try to get along with each other. It's important to show respect to those that are serving you. And the way, there's going to be some practical application at the end of this. And I want you to think back with this practical application and apply that to your relationship with church leaders. Is that you can do some things that shows love and respect for the position. The next thing is number five, people in the government. Show respect for people in the government. If you have a 401k, you can join with me now and say, "It has been a terrible week and I don't like anybody. I don't like anybody in government. I may have to work another year because of what went on this week." But you got to show respect because the Lord tells you to do that in Scripture. He says, "Give respect and honor to those who are in authority." Romans 13:7. Number six is honor your spouse. Honor your spouse. If you are a husband, you should be thoughtful of your wife. Treat her with honor because she isn't as strong as you are. I didn't put that in there, so you know. And she shares with you all the gifts of life, then nothing will stand in the way of your prayers. That's 1 Peter 3:7. Ephesians 5:3 says each husband should love his wife as much as he loves himself, and each wife should respect her husband. Honoring your spouse is part of Scripture. It's how you behave. You don't tear them down when they're not around. You don't tear them down to their face in front of other people. You don't tell jokes to get a laugh so that at your spouse's expense. And we've all seen all of that, haven't we? We've seen that. You show them honor and respect. Number seven is you honor others before yourself. Honor others before yourself. The Lord first, others second, I'm third. That's Romans 12:10. Honor others before yourself. Last thing is honor the Lord. "Those who honor me, I will honor," says the Lord. It's 1 Samuel 2:30. He calls for, he requires honor. And that honor is us showing respect to Him with our behavior, with our heart and mind, and how we do things. We show honor to God. Let's jump to the application. How do I honor God? I honor God with my actions, with how I act. I waffle back and forth, and because I'm waffling, I don't do it, but I really want us all to stand every time we read the Scripture. Just like, I like it. like it's honoring God. When we passed the plate once upon a time around the church, you know what that was? That was a visible, physical act of worship. It was an action where we are doing things. We're doing something to say, I want to honor the Lord with this. When we stand to sing that first song, we're standing. I love how every church I've ever been in cannot sing, I stand amazed in the presence, without standing up. They all stand up to honor the Lord. So you are honoring God with your actions, how you do things. It's also how you treat other people and the things that you value. That honors God, how you act. I have a feeling the person in front of us was headed to church at McDonald's today. And they were honoring God. They were just honoring God with their behavior and how they acted. Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and health for the body. Honor God with your words. With your words. If you have words that are foul, that come out of your mouth, you're not honoring God, are you? Not at all. If you have words that are divisive and tear someone else down or tear down the church, you are not honoring God. If you are kind in your words and encouraging with your words and strengthening in your words, and when what comes out of your mouth is good for the world, then you're giving honor to God. The last thing is honor God with your heart. So we've done it with our hands, done it with our mouth, and we're going to do it with our heart. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Your heart needs to be dwelling on things of the Lord. If you encounter something that causes you as a believer to cringe a little bit because it's so far from God, that's the Holy Spirit saying with you, you need to honor me with your heart. You need to honor me with your heart. 1 Timothy 1:5, the aim of our charge is that love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. We want to be people, our goal, pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. Not a faker. Not looking out for attention for ourselves. Not seeking our own good over someone else. We have a heart that is aimed, focused on God. Here's a good practical consequence of this. When you're a person of good heart, you're a person of good words, you're a person of good actions, when you inevitably mess up, when you will, because we all do, when you mess up, people give you the benefit of the doubt. They do. Believers will say, well, he's got a good heart. He may be slow, but he's got a good heart. He may tell really dumb jokes, but he's got a good heart. He may be fixated on whatever problem he's got right now, but he's got a good heart. She may be mad at her husband, but she's got a good heart. Lord's going to draw them back in and help them get right. Honoring God and honoring his people have incredibly good consequences. The consequences is you'll live a blessed life. You'll be a blessed church. A good pastor friend of mine that's way off in East Louisiana, we were talking last week about problems in a church. And he said, what you need to do, we're talking about being an interim, and he and I have both served as interims for years. He said, you need to just go in there and preach the word and preach the word. And preach the word and preach it over and over and over. He said, if you've got an old tree you're trying to get rid of, if you plow around that tree enough times, you'll kill the roots and get rid of it. When there's trouble in the church and the church is not growing, and when there's maybe stagnation or indifference. You plow in the Word over and over and over, honoring God and honoring His Word. And when you do that, good things happen. Good things happen. God blesses you and He is honored by that honoring of the Word. We're going to have a time of invitation now. And in that time of invitation, if the Lord is speaking to you about some things you might need to do, if you've been away from God and not honoring Him with your words, might be a good time to get some things right. If you've been away from God, not honoring Him with your life, it's a good time. If you're just ready to move and step in and work with the Lord and worship Him and be a part of this body, it's time to do that. All those things are what happens. Most important, if you're so far from God, you don't know Him, but you want to, and you want to turn to Him, there will be nothing better happen today than that. Give your life to Jesus. Come to know Him and trust Him with your life. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time, for these folks that are here and the words of Your Scripture that are so just enlightening to our spirit and to our soul and causes us to draw near to You and desire You. And Father, I pray that we would desire You more today and tomorrow and the next day because we want to be with You and we want to honor You. And I pray that this church, from now till You return, gives You great honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.